Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, you guys know our friend Sarge, Jim Sargent, longtime radio newsman here in Montana. He's in the marketing arena now, but, you know, he started at KSEN Radio in Shelby, and then eventually ended up at our Great Falls affiliate, KINX Radio. He was hired there by the now Montana Broadcasting Hall of Famer Jim Senst. But Sarge, great to have you back on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us here this morning. How you been, my friend?
I am good, Aaron. Great to catch up with you. And man, I just love listening to your show. You cover it the way it should be done, and you tell it the way it is, and that's what we need now. You know, the stuff that's going on in our political world needs to be straightened out, and you keep us informed, and I sure appreciate that.
Well, you're too kind. Well, and if I don't say it like it is, hey, you can call in and get us back on track, or tell me why you think I got it wrong, or why we got it right. Well, you shared something on Facebook last week, and it was a public post, so, you know, if somebody sets a post on Facebook to private, I treat that as a private communication, but you shared this publicly. Apparently, you had just gotten back from a trip to Glacier National Park, and you were pretty outraged. I mean, you said that the tourists are killing Glacier National Park. What did you see?
Well, and that's the thing. I think everybody has the right to see God's country and come to Glacier, Yellowstone, and all that, but we have to respect it. And one of the things that really upset me is people were just parking anywhere. If there was a little section of grass, they'd pull right over and park on it. They didn't care about the vegetation. They didn't, in my opinion, didn't care about the park. A lot of them were parking just right outside of Logan Pass because that parking lot is full all the time. We know that. And they were parking right outside there. And the thing that really graveled me was it was an out-of-stater, and he's walking. And some of these guys are walking 2-3 miles up to get into Logan's Pass. Well, he was walking, and the ranger was there and said, hey, move your vehicles. We're going to ticket them. It's going to cost you $150, whatever it was. And the guy says, I don't care. I absolutely don't care. I'm parking here. I've traveled this far. I will pay the fine. So, you know, it's just disrespectful to, and the right vibe, no parking signs. And that's the thing you looked at and you said, no parking in this area. They pulled right in front of them. They didn't care because they wanted to see, you know, the Logan Pass and go up to the Hidden Lake and all that stuff. You know, and so my frustration was, how do we cure that? I mean, there was over 3 million visitors at the Glacier National Park last year. They're expecting 3.8 million this year. So does it continue to get worse? You know, how do we cure that? What is the answer? And I don't know. And at the start of my comment I made on Facebook is, I'm opening this up for conversation. What is the answer? And I don't know what it is, Aaron, but what's going on right now is just wrong.
Yeah, you said, you know, Glacier is so special. This park belongs to all of us. It's up to us to protect it. So question to all of our followers, what can we do? We're going to talk more with Sarge here right after the break and throw that question to you as well. With Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk, you can jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. I'll give you my knee-jerk reaction right after this.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think this is not only an important topic about Glacier National Park, you could apply this same conversation to Yellowstone National Park. And a lot of this seemed like it kind of started going crazy and started getting on steroids with tourists not respecting our national park land. It seemed like it really went on steroids during COVID-19 because everybody from everywhere all over the world wanted to get outdoors. And so that's when we started to really see skyrocketing numbers of tourists visiting our national parks. By the way, kind of quick sidebar here with you, Sarge. I don't know if you saw this. Was it last week or the week before? The Trump administration, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, they're now going to start raising park entrance fees on foreign tourists. And so I think that's good news because, hey, that money could be used to fund more park personnel or infrastructure. And these foreign tourists obviously have the money to come here and are continuing to come in droves. So that seems like a good common sense starting point there.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Aaron, because I've been in the communication business for a number of years, as you said, and it's easy to come with a problem, but do you have a solution? Don't just go and throw it at your politicians, whoever it is, hey, here's the problem, you fix it. And we were thinking about that. We recently were over in Vegas, and if you've ever been to Vegas, they have a lot of hidden fees, resort fees, host fees, things like that. And my niece, who lives in the Las Vegas area, said, if you're a local, you don't have to pay any of that stuff. You just show them your local driver's license, and you're exempt from all that. And for you to say what you just said, I think, is one solution that could help. And they have the fees already. We know that. To get into the west side, you have to pay get your special pass and that thing. Not so much on the east side. But where does that money go? You know, is that helping with some of these cuts that have been proposed for national parks? There was a proposal of, I think, like $26 million in reductions, which then obviously staff members are going to get cut. And honestly, they don't have enough staff. I mean, the parks are so big and there's so many things that you deal with that we need the money to fund to help curtail some of these issues that I personally see with people overpopulating the park and abusing the parks that we have.
Yeah, so I want to read what Sarge here shared on Facebook last week. He says, Montana, we need to get a grip on the disaster unfolding in Glacier National Park. I was there today, and what I saw was heartbreaking. People were parked wherever they pleased, shoulders, no parking zones, even blocking traffic. There was zero enforcement at nearly every turn. Crowds were trampling through sensitive areas with no regard for the land or the rules. And then, of course, Sarge just shared the one story where one guy was approached by a park ranger, and the guy said, yeah, I'll pay the fine. Who cares? I'm here. It's $150, lottie freaking da, and just ignored the park ranger. Sarge, there's so many conversations we could have about this. I think there's a breakdown that we've seen in civil society at large. And when you break down civil society, you break down civil society. But also my knee-jerk reaction to your question is maybe if more Montanans could get into the park, there would be more of us in the park to help keep the visitors in line. You're a Montana guy. You know how to take care of our national parks. You know how much Glacier National Park means to us. But frankly, it could be some lake somewhere. It could be another piece of national forest land. And if there's Montanans like you there, you're going to say, hey, guys, what are you doing? You got to stay on the trail. Or, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. And now that they've moved to this reservation system, it's just harder for everyday Montanans to get into the park. So, yeah, why don't we need more of a local exception, kind of like your Vegas analogy where, hey, look, we live here in Montana. Yeah, charge the foreigners more, make the out-of-staters get a reservation. But for those of us with Montana plates, we're the ones that provide the infrastructure for everybody to get into the park. We should be allowed into the park, and we'll help police up some of these some of the riffraff there while we're at it.
Well, and I would agree 100%. And the thing is we're into this entitlement society where I'm entitled. I'm entitled to do this. We were at the park, and again, I'm talking about Glacier, and we were there, I'm going to say, a couple months ago. And there was a couple of rams, a couple of sheep that were just sitting down at one of the pull-offs. And everybody's enjoying them, and they're taking pictures doing that. And, of course, we had to have a couple, and on their license plate, it had an out-of-state license plate, had to go up there and try to get as close as they can to get a picture 3 feet away from them. What do? They get the animals to jump up. They run off. Nobody else gets to experience that. You could have stayed right where we were, took pictures. Everybody could have enjoyed it, but no. We're entitled to go up there, and the stuff that happens in Yellowstone with the bison, I mean, we all know that. Boy, let's get as close as we can because they're pets. People need to understand these are wild animals. This is their home. This isn't our home. This is their home. We got to respect that. You got to respect the lands for generations to come. I mean, and I believe that wholeheartedly. I think generations should have a chance to do and see what I see with the great state of Montana.
Well, and I do think that there is a connection to broader civil society. I remember we had a really interesting caller. It was a Billings caller because at the time they were pushing this $100 million plus parks plan that mainly was an aquatics facility where they wanted taxpayers to pony up over $100 million for basically an aquatics facility and then a little bit for parks. And the guy said, you know, because we were in the middle of all this crime, illegal alien-fueled crime. You had the BLM riots and protests going on all across the country. You had this breakdown in civil society. And I'll never forget this Billings listener raised an interesting point. He said, why would we pay for parks if we can't use them? With the idea being that a community park just used to be a safe place for anybody to go. But now, given the breakdown in society and lawlessness and criminality, I mean, look at Missoula and the transients there. He says, why would you pay for parks if you can't really use them? We also saw, I think, you know, more of this breakdown in the treatment of our national parks during the BLM riot / COVID-19 era as well. So I wonder if there's a connection there. All right, stand by. Back after the break.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Is this a human voice or one created by artificial intelligence? A majority of voters, 6 in 10, have a great deal or some confidence they can tell when something is generated by AI. Yet, our Fox News survey also finds fewer than 4 in 10 are confident the federal government can properly regulate the technology. 2 years ago, 38% felt artificial intelligence was a good thing for society. Now, that's up 5 points to 43%. A slightly larger number, 47%, believe that technology is a bad thing. White voters, those ages 45 and over, and women are most likely to say AI is bad for society. Overall, 4 in 10 say they use AI at least monthly. That includes 1 in 10 who are daily users. Still, a majority says they rarely or never use it. Visit our website, foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Don't just...
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Yeah, great to have Sarge, Jim Sargent, on the radio with us right now. I know many of you in the Great Falls area, you miss listening to Sarge every day on the radio, so what a day it is today to have him with us. His comments about his recent trip to Glacier National Park, I did a story for our Montana Talks website last night, posted it last night, kicked it out on the app, and at the bottom of the story I said, hey, what's your thoughts? Send us a message on the Montana Talks app. And last night I got this message from Carol in Billings. Carol says this: I just read Jim Sargent's opinions about what's happening to Glacier Park. It was heartbreaking to know that tourists are ruining the crown jewel. However, I think it sums up what is happening to our whole country. Barbarians, foreign and domestic, have breached the gates and are taking over. Civil people don't know what to do. President Trump is trying to restore our country, but is being met and thwarted at every turn by leftists who hate him and his supporters. Appeal to heaven. That was the message from Carol in Billings. Carol, thanks for that message. Let's go into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. We've got Connor in Bozeman listening to 1450 KMMS. Connor, what's your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, I'd just like to take a minute and apologize for everyone I ever told about Montana since I moved here in 1998. But at that point, I did it, and a lot of them moved here, too. But, Glacier is amazing, but I kind of like to count my blessings when you go up there. If you spend any time on the North Fork on the west side, there were plans back, I want to say like in the 70s, but it might have been earlier than that, to put a dam right there, kind of at the southwest corner of Glacier, and the entire North Fork was going to be a giant reservoir, and they had plans for a loop highway to come all the way down from Canada and connect all the Canadian parks even more than it is connected to Waterton right now. So we could be in a much worse situation than we are right now. And it was a blessing that none of that ever happened. But my suggestion would be have giant signs and change the policy that the fines you will pay when you mess up Glacier or Yellowstone will be based on your actual income and your, you know, net worth. So if you're filthy rich and you think you can give that attitude to the ranger, then good, you're going to pay a $15,000 or $20,000 fine instead of $150 or $200 fine. And then we can use that to improve the park and maybe build some more parking lots and pay for more rangers on patrol up there. But my main thing to do to save Glacier is to tell everybody about Banff. Tell them about Banff and Yoho and Kootenai and Jasper and send them all north. That's the only thing we can do. Other than that, just go early in the season before school lets out and go late in the season after school has started. And that's the best way to enjoy Yellowstone and Glacier. And don't tell anybody about it.
Tell them how awful Montana is. Tell them how awful Montana is, especially this time of year. Connor, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for the message. Couple thoughts springing from that one as we go back to Sarge here. Sarge, first, this reminds me so much of the conversation that we had in Malta on the High Line. It was a couple of Christmases ago, just before Christmas. We did a big program. You know, there were a bunch of hunters in Malta who said, we are getting overrun with out-of-state hunters. And they said something similar to where, well, these guys come here from other states, and they just figure, well, if I get a ticket, so what? I'll just pay it. And so anyway, this Glacier National Park story seems to me to kind of tie in with the concern about out-of-state hunters that don't have a guide, that don't have an outfitter that's showing them around, and they may not necessarily follow the rules of the road that you and I might.
Well, and I agree, with both of the comments that you had that people have called in and stuff. And if you probably remember the great Paul Harvey, and he always talks about advertising and repetition is effective. Repetition is effective. And we remember ad after ad after ad, Montana, the last great place. Come and visit. Bring your money. Well, we didn't want you to stay. We just wanted you to come and visit and then go home. So being in the Bozeman area, as that gentleman was, he has felt this 100%. I mean, they definitely have felt it, what's going on there, and people camping in the streets and things like that. I agree 100%. There's got to be something we can do to protect the great state of Montana, because more and more people are finding out our secret, and more people are moving here. They don't like what they're doing, wherever they come from. And my thing is this, Aaron, and you and I have talked about this before, don't come from a place you didn't like and come here to try to change Montana the way that it was that you came from. And I see that a lot in our political movements and stuff. And they go, hey, we're going to run for this, and we're going to change it because this is a great way of doing it. We're pretty free here in Montana, and we want to stay that way. We want to protect and respect what we have here in Montana.
That reminds me, there was a post on X that caught my eye last week. I think our friend Jeremy Carl in Bozeman shared this. It's from a guy named Lomez, who's apparently a pretty popular writer. Let's see. He shared something from, Eric Prince, maybe. Eric Prince, I think, is who it was, shared this. Wyoming is what America was. And he's talking about how he had the chance to glimpse an old-school, high-trust society this weekend at the Cody, Wyoming Winchester Antique Gun Show. And the guy was talking about how here he is. He must live back east or something. But he's here, you know, seeing all of these guns just laid out on tables, antiques, just laid out on tables for people to see. And he's just talking about how, man, there's no way you could do this anywhere else in America right now, like on the left coast or on the east coast. But what Lomez said with this, he says, last week at a fly shop in Montana, the clerk let me walk out with a $1,000 rod to test it at a nearby park. Didn't even take my ID. Days later, I was at a CVS store in D.C. and had to ask permission to buy a can of shaving cream locked behind a glass case. Not the same civilization. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it was very interesting. And Wyoming, Montana, even portions of Idaho, we just still trust people. We still get business done with a handshake. We don't need lawyers to dot the I's and cross the T's. We shake hands. If I tell you I'm going to do a dance at your place at this time on that date, I'm going to be there. And it's binding. You know, and that's the great thing about Montana. And that's probably one of the things when I put that post out there that really affected me personally was the fact that my nieces and nephews of the next generation aren't going to be able to experience that. You know what I'm saying? Exactly what you're saying. You would help your neighbor. You would drive 10 miles to go help your neighbor do some branding or harvesting or whatever it is. I don't know if that's the case all over the world. And I kind of like the way we live here in Montana.
That's right. That's right. All right. Hold that thought. Let's sneak on some more callers here. We've got Donald in Great Falls listening to KINX. Donald, thanks for your call. What's your thoughts?
Well, I was going to tell you, the way the country's going is you read the book, The Law by Frederick Bastiat. I sent that book to you about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't believe, but he right then, but you take the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers. Donald Trump is not a member of any of them, and they are the one world government, and that's why they're against Trump.
So tie it in with national parks, because you told our producer something about the control of the parks.
Control the parks. They mentioned that you have to control the parks and the people that travel there. So you once you control the parks, you control the land, you control the freedom. And that's a step into controlling the freedom by charging everybody to do anything that they don't want you to do. So that it keeps the... they try to keep naturally part of the nation that they can't control. The only way to control is to keep people from seeing it.
And so, well, especially right now with Montanans, because of this reservation system, it's harder for everyday Montanans to get into the park. But then you hear about these tourists coming in and trampling the park. Yeah, Sarge, your thoughts, this kind of ties, this was another point that I wanted to make here, too, is my concern is that as you get more and more, you know, reports about, you know, foreign tourists or out-of-state tourists coming here, trampling our parks, is, you know, the radical left has wanted to do away with that road, the going to the Sun Highway, Logan Pass. You actually had a former Glacier National Park superintendent speak at pachyderm clubs in western Montana talking about, you know, not having the going to the Sun Road anymore. And my concern is that they lock Montanans out but let the tourists trample it. And then that just paves the way for them to say, yeah, you know what, we're just not going to have that road anymore anyway. That road is how so many people get to experience the grandeur of Glacier National Park. Not every family with little kids can go spend two weeks backpacking the Bob.
Wouldn't that be a shame? I mean, from what we know, and allowed to get into certain location to trailheads and go back into the backcountry and experience what God has given us, that would be such a shame that would happen. You know, and a lot of people respectfully will ride the reds, the buses, those type of things, you know, because they don't want to have more population up there. And so I give credit to that. But, boy, I would just be really upset if they go, oh, we're going to close it down. Yeah, we're done with it. And it just doesn't need to happen.
That's right. Well, let's see. We're going to get to Nick in Kalispell. Nick, stand by. You will be first up right after the break. I'm going to power up during this next break. Or, hey, if you're heading into the park or if you're getting out and going on a nice hike, you're going to want to power up with some of this stuff as well here. A Big Fork Montana Marine veteran, Lee Ettinger, I ran into him in Washington, D.C. during President Trump's inauguration back in January, and he sent me this product that he created. He said, Aaron, you're a fellow veteran like me. You work hard, you play hard, so you get those aches and pains. You could be sitting on the couch and have aches and pains, but even if you go out and exercise, you're going to have some aches and pains. Well, what if you had an energy drink that was also combined with natural pain-relieving vitamins? That's exactly what Power Plus Pain Aid is. So during this break, you want to power up. I'm going to power up for the second half of the show. You want to power up. You can power up at drinkpowerplus.com and take 15% off your order by using the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout. You'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com. All right, we'll get to Nick and Kalispell first up on the phone lines right after this. Stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
There's a lot of whispers that ranchers may be retaining a few more heifers to try and rebuild their herds. But is an overall herd rebuilding effort underway? Don Close with Terrain shares his thoughts.
When we talk about that steer heifer breakdown and those video sales, you know, the thing to keep in mind with those heifers is really there's 2 to 3 bites at the apple of whether to retain that female or not. The ones who are purchased as calves and develop fully, but then when she sells again as a yearling, so could there be a lot of them on the fence right now that, well, I'm willing to grow her and I will make a decision next spring whether I want to be the owner or let somebody else be the owner. So I'm not convinced we're seeing that much retention But I agree with you that we're playing a lot of what-if scenarios.
Don Close points out that heifer sales at auctions have dropped to levels last seen in 2014-15 during the last major herd rebuilding phase. The July cattle inventory report due out this week will be key. If the percentage of heifers on feed falls again, it will confirm herd rebuilding is underway, but tighten supplies for feeders. If not, there won't be enough 2024 calf crop heifers available for significant retention again. That July cattle on feed report due out later this week. I'm Lane Nord.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, Sarge is going to stick with us, I think, for the rest of the hour because, yeah, we're talking about this story that I posted on our Montana Talks website. You know, and he really kicked it off with I knew this would generate some great phone calls from across Montana, but he kicked it off by throwing out the question, hey, Montana, we all love Glacier National Park. What are some ideas? What are some ideas you have to address the challenges that he's talking about? And so, yeah, looking forward to hearing from every single one of you. We got the phone lines filled up right now. So, but you can message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I just realized I need to go check these messages because, yeah, we got a bunch of them that are flowing in right now. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Nick in Kalispell listening to KJJR. Nick, what's your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Thanks a lot for another great show.
Thank you.
And, hey, born and raised, I've been in the park a lot my whole life. For the last 5-6 years, I haven't been up there near as much for obvious reasons. I'm looking forward to a hike with with some family coming into town here soon. And my proposal is a tiered entry system, tiered permits. This ties into all the state of Montana. We already kind of, you've been talking about it, housing. All the costs trickle down for the locals. So locals are eating it for everything else. So I'm saying a tiered system. You want to move to Montana the first 3 to 5 years, you're going to be paying a lot more money in everything. You want a driver's license, it's going to cost a lot more money. The whole entire, all the way down the line, getting into Glacier Park. So that's my proposal.
All right, Nick, thanks for the call. You know, and what's funny is you talk with some of the folks that come here because they fled Seattle or San Francisco or L.A. This is one of the challenges for Missoula right now, frankly, is you've got some people that, even maybe conservative-leaning people, that fled the cow states, California, Oregon, and Washington, and they get to Missoula and they're like, oh, well, these, you know, Missoula has some of the worst property taxes in the entire state and taxes across the board in the entire state of Montana. But if you fled one of the cow states, you're like, oh, Missoula ain't that bad. So for the people who grew up in Missoula and have lived in Missoula their whole life, and or at least for a long time, they're saying, no, man, this is awful. I know it's not as awful as California, but this is still awful. So that's another one of the challenges there. Next up, let's go to Connie in Hungry Horse. Connie, what's your thoughts?
Good morning. My thoughts are simply, are you there?
Yeah, we got you. I'm listening.
Okay. That when I listen, we recently spoke to a neighbor who's working up in the park. My husband is retired from Glacier Park. We've lived here our whole lives. We used to go to Under the Big Sky. We used to do a lot of camping. We always went to the rodeo, and of course we spent many, 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 many days and nights up in Glacier Park. And now you can't do any of that. You can't get a camping reservation up on the reservoir. You can't go to Northwest Montana Fair Rodeo. I tried buying tickets for my family quite a while ago. But you have to be the first one on the dot and the fastest internet in the country. It's just all, if you live in Montana, if you live in Hungry Horse, if you live anywhere near to all of this beautiful stuff, you're lucky because you get to stay home because there's literally no place for you to go.
You're right on the edge of it.
You want to fight the crowd.
You're right on the edge of it. You are looking through the window at a big juicy steak, and you can't eat a bite of it some days.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think so there's... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, it has just changed so much. So because we live here, we have family here. You get to enjoy your family. You get to enjoy your church body, whatever. You still have those roots. But the things that you've known since your grandpa took you up fishing on the rivers up the South Fork and all the things that you've known your whole life, it's very much of a contest to try to be the first ones or even the last ones to get in.
Well, that's why I love that, you know, it seems like the state tourism marketing approach is shifting. It's shifting towards Montanans exploring more of their own backyard instead of just, hey, let's spend millions of dollars on billboards in Chicago and Seattle, right? And give it to a bunch of out-of-state marketing firms. Connie, thank you so much for the call there. Wow, that was powerful. I appreciate your phone call. I'm not only thinking about steaks, but I'm thinking about huckleberry milkshakes now. Steaks and huckleberry milkshakes, what I'm thinking about now. Let's go next to Ken in Great Falls. I'm excited to hear Ken's thoughts on Glacier and what to do there. Ken, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call, Aaron. It isn't the people. I mean, you get 3 million people, you're going to have a certain percentage of jerks. You have 20 people, you're going to have a certain percentage of jerks. That's just the way she goes, either from Montana or anywhere else. It's logistics. That's what it is. 3 million people trying to get into that little park. You can't do it. There's one thing we have to do. You put a big parking lot at East Glacier and a big parking lot at West Glacier, and you have beautiful buses coming out every 10 minutes, taking you wherever you want to go in the park, and you have all kinds of facilities where people can get off the bus wherever they want, go take a hike, go look at stuff, get back on the bus. That way 3 million people could use the park.
Yeah, just like a shuttle system, right? You want to get off here, you get off there, and then you can get back on 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45, whatever later, right?
Exactly. We could handle 5 million that way because it's a big park. You know, it'd work. I don't go there anymore because of that. But as in Montana, and I know places just as pretty. I just have to walk a little bit. I'm not going to tell you.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, you can keep that one secret.
Yeah, you betcha.
Well, and a lot of people will say you get a mile or two off the main trail, off the main, and you'll get to a place where you don't see too many other people. The other thing I did, Ken, that was really fun a couple of years ago. Actually, I got linked up with them through KJJR. So the Glacier Institute is. It's the educational arm of Glacier National Park. So it's kind of like a nonprofit educational arm. They still do these tours to this day. If you want to get into the park and you don't have a reservation, you can do a tour through the Glacier Institute, and then they drive you, and it's their gas, and it's and at least back then it wasn't too expensive. But the other cool thing is you have an incredible tour guide that also ends up leading you through the park. They can describe all the plants, all the trees, all the vegetation. It was incredible. We had such a great tour when we did that.
Great way to do it. Great way to look at it. You bet.
That's right. All right, Ken, great to hear from you. Let me sneak on one more caller here before I get back to our friend Sarge here to get his thoughts on all these great phone calls we're getting here this morning. Steve in Ballantyne, what's your thoughts?
Good morning, Aaron. My thoughts is go gather up a bunch of gas-guzzling cars that they don't like, the left don't like, use a bunch of electricity that they seem like we always have, recycle them cars in, and make little steel bells. Do you remember about the little bells? Put a bell on when you go into grizzly country. Put your bells on and it makes some little posters and put them up all around the park saying, this is what can happen to you, and show some bear scat with a couple bells in it. You might want to wear your bell. We'll just build some bells, and they put their bells on and go into there at their own risk.
All the bells and whistles. All right, we'd be able to spot Steve in a heartbeat there if we passed him on the going to the sun road there. Okay, let's see. Before I get to Steve and Cody, let's go to Sarge here before we get to our next break. Sarge, what's your thoughts on all the calls we've gotten here?
Exactly what I wanted. Some input from people that are listening. Thank you to Aaron being so great to getting this out there. That's what we need. We need to stand as Montanans and continue
to fight. Connie, great. I loved what she said. And even Ken brought up the ideas of the buses, and we've talked a lot about that. I did a little research before we went on the air here. Riding the Reds are $60 a rider, and the Sun Tour buses, I think, were $140 for an all-day trip. So if you take away the cars and you have to go strictly buses, my question was, or actually it was my wife's question, she says, so do we provide some of the money that we would get for parks into public transportation to where you could get on and off those buses where you wouldn't have to pay? So a company's not getting rich or more money because we want to go visit the park. You know what I'm saying? So how can we do it at a very affordable cost? Or like now, I mean, obviously I could go through there for free once I, you know, because I'm an old man and I've got that free park admission. But so I don't want to have to pay a whole bunch of money to go through the park. But can we do it at a reasonable cost for an entire family that could go through and experience the park as I did when I was a kid?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like the idea of taking away, you know, our Montanans' ability. There's something about being behind the wheel of your own vehicle and driving the family through. But I think if we encourage and had more of those kind of shuttle style opportunities, I think that we would see more of it. It would relieve a lot of the impacts there. All right. Let's see. We got Steve and Cody, Teresa in Columbia Falls, and I got to check the app messages that are coming in on the Montana Talks app. I know we got a bunch of them. Stand by.
News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we probably won't have time to get to these two other stories I wanted to get Sarge's take on. President Trump wants the Washington Redskins name back. Will the logo honoring a legendary Blackfeet Nation leader once again be restored? I've got that news at MontanaTalks.com. And what about this? Riggs Johnston. This is from MontanaSports.com. Riggs Johnston of Libby closes the Open with a 74. Libby, Montana's own, played in the big, 153rd Open Championship this past week in Northern Ireland. A great write-up at MontanaSports.com. And I know Sarge was watching the action over the weekend as well. Here's some of the messages that have come in. Let's see. I think we already heard from Nick in the Flathead. He sent us a great message as well. Let's see. Dave in Kalispell says this: we need to give all the locals discounts if they show a Montana's driver's license on everything. This way, out-of-staters will get their local driver's license and contribute to the tax base for the state. Or pay more, right? Let's see. Matthew says this: was looking at penalties for harming the environment in Norway and its national parks. Fines start at around $800, and if deemed to be significant damage, can include from 6 to 20 years imprisonment. Diana says this. She says, spontaneous visits into Glacier Park used to be frequent and awesome in years gone by. We could decide on a whim to visit when the weather was beautiful. 2, bus riding, not necessary. Why not just admit cars according to the even or odd number on their license plate? So that was another idea there from Diana. All right, let's see. Let's go back into the phone lines here. Steve in Cody, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts? Steve, are you there? Okay, let's see. Oh, is Steve on a different line now? Let's see. I'll have our producer, Caden, check back in with line 3 there. Line 2, Teresa in Columbia Falls. Teresa, what's on your mind?
Yes, we live close to the park, and we usually go off-season. But last week we had family in town, and we knew it was going to be a mess. I recommend going in really early. You can go in early before the tickets start at 7. We were going in between 5:30 and 6. And once in, the shuttle bus will save you. If you don't use the shuttle bus, you're just constantly looking for a parking spot or you're parking so far away from the trail. That's the first time we've ever used the shuttles, just out of necessity. And, if you're going in with your car, you're not going to get a spot. So I recommend the shuttles, and then it can be enjoyable. And there's things around the park that aren't in the park, very close by, that you can also do, that, like rafting and certain things you can plan out as a backup. But it's still worth going. But if you go early, or you use the shuttle, you can do it.
I had a friend from Billings. He took his family through Glacier, and I told him, hey, if you go to the east side of the park, you know, drive Highway 2. If you're in Kalispell, drive Highway 2, go to the east side, enter that way. And some folks are finding that easier if you don't have a reservation. But he said they released some day of tickets, and he said he was able to get a day of ticket. So that sounds like another option. Teresa, thanks for the call. Man, look at these great broadcasters we've got on the show with us this morning. We got Jim Sargent, Sarge, out of Great Falls. And now Norma Ashby Smith and Dwight Smith on the phone lines from Great Falls. Hey, great to hear from you two as always.
Thank you, Aaron. We're so thrilled to be on with our friend Sarge. We've known him for years, and he's a great, great broadcaster. And we're so proud of what he's doing on the show today with you.
And Aaron, listen, all the ideas are great. We're thinking about another idea. We're just brainstorming maybe categories of Montana active duty and Montana retirees getting a little bit of a preference. Also, people over 65. The Norma hits the big 9-0 this year.
That's so right.
You know, we haven't been in the park since 2019. And so we're anxious to get up there in August and some great ideas out of your program.
Warm up the bus. We need to get Norma back up there before her 90th B-Day coming up. That's incredible. Yeah, warm up the tour bus. That would be a great time. Norma could lead the tour. I'll bet you people would pack that bus just to have Norma as their tour guide. Yeah, great to hear from both of you. All right, Sarge, we got about a minute or so to go. What do you want to tell folks all across Montana?
Hey, just be involved. Norma Ashby, love the lady. She is a pioneer among pioneers, and she would be tremendous. I'll just say this, Aaron, be involved as a Montana, love your state and protect your state, because that's where we're headed. I love all the ideas, exactly what I want to do. And Aaron, I can't say thank you to you enough for being a part of this and help spread the word. I made a bunch of jotted notes here and stuff. I'm going to do a follow-up on it, and I'll post that out, and you'll have a chance to see it. But thank you so much.
Hey, thank you.
Montana is a great place, and let's keep it that way.
What'd you think of the Libby kid golfing in the Open over the weekend?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. He did well, represented Montana very well. A lot of football players, obviously. I follow Tommy Milot a lot with the Bobcats. He's going to be in Las Vegas playing for the Raiders. I just think Montanans are being well represented, and they're respectful athletes, and that's exactly what I love. So,
that's right.
Ridge is a great golfer.
And his grandma, first time overseas watching him golf, she was there. There was a great video that I shared on X over the weekend. Sarge, great to have you, my friend. Thanks for your time.